This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we're going to want to hear from you about the role that music plays in your life. When and where do you listen to music? Is it in the background or front and center? Does it have to fit your mood? How do you find new stuff? Do you dance? We'll hear your music story coming up. Now, the Republican National Committee voted last week to censure two Republican members of Congress investigating the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. The move sparked a backlash among some Republican members of Congress, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Here he is talking at a press conference on Tuesday.
The issue is whether or not the RNC should be sort of singling out members of our party who may have different views from the majority. That's not the job of the RNC.
Republicans in the House of Representatives defended the move, revealing divisions that still exist within the party over January 6th and the 2020 presidential election. We're taking a closer look at those divides and the way some are playing out here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the Republican National Committee's decision to censure two fellow Republicans? When do you think a party should punish its own? How about former Vice President Pence saying he didn't have the ability, the power to overturn the 2020 election, and the response that's gotten from former President Trump and his supporters? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. I'm happy to be on with you.
Big picture, before we look into some of the specific disputes here, we've got a few different cases just in the news this week about disputes within the Republican Party, within legislative caucuses, even related to the 2020 elections and the January 6th insurrection. How significant do you see this debate being now?
I think it is quite significant because we're seeing these fissures at the state level, as you mentioned, in other states, also at the national level, and we're not that far off from the midterm elections, and the Republicans are poised for historical reasons and also for because of things that are going on currently, they're poised to do well in the midterms, and I'm not surprised to hear Mitch McConnell basically asking them to stop going after each other.
I want to listen to some more of what Mitch McConnell said this week about the RNC calling January 6th legitimate political discourse. This is a phrase used in the censure of the two Republican members of Congress. Here's a little more of what he had to say to reporters.
We saw what happened. It was a violent insurrection for the purpose of trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election from one administration to the next. That's what it was.
Many influential Republicans would argue that point, this definition of even what happened on January 6th. Susan, can you talk about that split in the Republican Party?
Yeah, I think the issue of referring to what Representatives Cheney and Kinzinger are engaged in as persecution of ordinary citizens engaged in legitimate political discourse, and I'm quoting from the resolution there, that's really what has caused this uproar this week and pushback from a lot of Republicans. I think that if the RNC would have stopped at calling out Kinzinger and Cheney for their participation, we would not have seen this backlash. It's that phrase there about ordinary citizens engaging in legitimate political discourse that has really set off a lot of people in the Republican Party, more so than we've seen, I would say, since actually January 6th. I mean, if you think about it, on January 6th and 7th and 8th, there were a lot of Republicans who were coming forward and saying what happened was unacceptable, beyond unacceptable, an insurrection, violent, can never happen again. And then we saw a moving away from that rhetoric, and many Republicans who were quite strong on the 6th, someone like Lindsey Graham, for example, then kind of modified their statements to the point where now a lot more people in the Republican Party are on that not so critical side of things. But this comment, this resolution of the RNC seems to have spiked again the resistance in the Republican Party to how it's being characterized.
Then we had, as I mentioned, former Vice President Pence saying responding to President Trump, Pence saying he did not have the authority, didn't have the power to overturn the election results from 2020. Former President Trump had just said he had. Vice President Pence, his supporters have been reporting lately, we're getting a lot of support, a lot of donors, a lot of Republicans calling privately to say they are glad the former vice president said that. Why don't we see more public support? Why would people be unwilling to, I guess, stick their necks out in that way?
Because I think there's still a sizable percentage of the Republican Party that is supportive of the former president. And at the same time, there are significant donors to the Republican Party who want to see that part of the party turned back. And so we have people who, I've read that the Koch brothers, for example, have been longtime supporters of Vice President Pence, and they're putting money his way and support his way is one example. And it's just a split in the Republican Party. And there's the public-facing Republican Party, in my opinion, and then there's that more private Republican Party. And I guess the real question for me is, what does that private-facing Republican Party, what are they going to do if the public-facing side of the party continues to be as strong as it is?
Talking to Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, talking about some public rifts among Republicans over the January 6th Capitol attacks and the outcome of the 2020 presidential election nationally and here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a Republican, do you want to hear your elected officials talking about investigating the outcome of the 2020 election still, or do you want to see them focused on other issues heading up to the midterm? If so, what issues? Do you think the former President Trump, should play a big role in the Republican Party of 2022? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Susan, before we move to Wisconsin, do we see precedent for this kind of a split within a party, the kind of things we're seeing among Republicans today?
Yeah, I would say that some might argue that there's a split in the Democratic Party, in fact, today. I would not say that it's as nearly as strong as what we're seeing in the Republican Party, but certainly we often see examples where you have one wing or the other of a party. You know, right now, you know, airing its grievances publicly, and what we're seeing now is a very public airing of grievances. And I also think, again, to get back to my earlier point, they're on two different paths forward in terms of what they envision is the best path forward for the Republican Party, and they're, you know, putting it out there again with the midterm elections being very much in their focus.
Turning to Wisconsin, we have Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the most powerful, arguably, Republican in the state currently, calls from a couple of county Republican parties for him to step down, criticism that he hasn't done enough to investigate the 2020 election, concerns that he retaliated against a Republican state representative who was pushing to withdraw, basically, Wisconsin's electors. What are your thoughts on the divisions you're seeing here in Wisconsin among Republicans?
It tracks very closely in my mind with the divisions that we're seeing nationally. And what we have is Speaker Voss, who is trying to maintain his party. Again, the Republican Party in Wisconsin is also going to go into the midterms fairly strong. We know that already they're likely to have the maps or very similar maps to what they were able to run on as far as redistricting. So there's that. Positive from the Republican Party perspective. There's also some of the election reforms that they're trying to put in place ahead of the 2022 election. And my assumption is that Speaker Voss is seeing this as being quite a distraction. And if they're going after voters who might straddle that middle, as the Republican candidate for governor will be doing, having the public face of the party being those who support the January 6th insurrection, who are speaking about election fraud and at those particular levels, that's not going to help the Republicans win back the governorship and hold on to the Senate seat.
Can you talk about the position Voss in particular is in? He had been pressured by President Trump. He appointed former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman to do this investigation. But he's got members of his own caucus claiming that the Assembly and Senate can withdraw these electors. They can't. Legislative lawyers say they can't. He's in a position where he's being called upon to do things that he can't do, right?
Absolutely. There is no mechanism in place to recall electors. There is no mechanism in place to overturn the election now that we're 13 months out, but even from the transition of power. But even so, even on January 21st, they couldn't have done it. So this stuff cannot happen. And yet there are people like Representative Rampton, for example, who are arguing that it can in fact happen. And so from Speaker Voss's perspective, what he's saying is truthful. And he's also saying that he has empowered former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Gableman to do an investigation. What Speaker Voss seems to be doing now is drawing a distinction, saying that we are not looking backwards, we are looking forward. And I think that's how he is trying to frame what's going on with the Gableman investigation versus what some of these other hardcore members of the Republican Party in his state are pushing for.
We're talking to Susan Johnson, associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, with us today to talk about divides within the Republican Party nationally and here in Wisconsin over the 2020 election outcome and the January 6th insurrection. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're looking at the Republican Party from the inside or the outside, do you want to see Republicans focusing on the 2020 elections and on January 6th, 2021? Or do you want to see them focused on other issues as we head toward a midterm election? If so, what policy issues? The Gableman investigation, is it too much? Should it be done? Or do you think it's not enough to go back and look at the 2020 election? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk about differing views within the Republican Party about the 2020 election outcome, the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol, disputes happening now among members of Congress and the Republican National Committee, and here in Wisconsin as well. Susan Johnson is with us from UW-Whitewater. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with a couple of the state's Republican county organizations that Speaker Robin Voss should no longer be the Speaker of the Assembly? Do you think the Republican Party should still be doing investigations of the 2020 election outcome, or do you want to see their focus elsewhere? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Michelle joins us now in Wausau. Michelle, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Michelle?
I think it's definitely important that, there's accountability in the elections. But I think right now we need to focus ahead and we need to work towards getting the White House back. I think we need to work towards, we had peace. We had basically world peace, and look where we're at now. I think there's a lot of Democrats that voted for the current administration who I think they're in the closet, and I think there's a good chance they'll be coming out voting in 2024 for a Republican.
And Michelle, who is there somebody you would like to see on the ballot for Republicans in 2024?
Donald Trump.
Okay. Michelle, thanks a lot for the call. Susan, a lot of Republicans agree with Michelle that they think Donald Trump should run and has the best chance of taking back the White House.
Yeah, I think that former President Trump, as having been former president, has quite a significant following. Michelle is by no means alone in the hope that he will in fact be the person who is nominated to run again in 2024. So, like I said, she's not, her thoughts are not singular.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Bruce joins us next in Green Bay. Bruce, hi.
Hi. I guess as probably an independent, I do not understand how a Republican can vote for any Republican that's been in office over the Trump administration. They've remained silent and aided and abetted a criminal administration in Trump. And they're lauding now Vice President Pence for a year after an insurrection that's well documented in plain sight. And he finally says that what Trump did was wrong. I don't think the country can move forward until the people responsible are held accountable, to include every Republican that sat on their hands silently and aided and abetted this administration.
Bruce, thanks for the call. Bruce, also not alone, I think, in those thoughts. Susan, including some, I think a minority, some Republicans out there as well.
Right. So Bruce identified himself as an independent.
Right.
And so basically, Wisconsin, I mean, as we know, it is so closely contested that when you think about what the Republican Party and Democratic Party are hoping for, someone like Speaker Voss, I would say, wants someone like Bruce to vote Republican. And what I would think Speaker Voss is seeing is that the actions of some members of his party and what someone like Mitch McConnell is saying nationally, the actions by some members of his party, are driving people like Bruce, who potentially could be a Republican voter, away from the party. And when you have very close elections, those decisions really matter.
Thanks a lot for that call, Bruce, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about rifts within the Republican Party at the state and national levels. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Susan, we have a Republican primary for governor going on. Speaker Robin Voss had discouraged one of the main candidates, Kevin Nicholson, from getting involved, hoping former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish would have a clear path. Now we have Assembly Representative Timothy Ramphlin, who we were talking about earlier. Looks like he is going to get in the next couple days in the race. Could this be a rough primary for Republicans, given all the things we've been talking about?
I think so. And this is something that the Republicans were hoping to avoid, because we have Governor Evers, who will likely be unopposed and moving right forward toward the nomination. And so what the Republican Party was rightfully hoping for was to not have a bruising nomination fight, because then what can happen is whoever emerges from that can be somewhat hampered or weakened because of the nature of the primary election campaign. So Speaker Voss was hoping to not have that happen, and it appears that what is shaping up right now will be the race between Clayfish and then Nicholson, who is very, very well funded, and then potentially Assembly person Ramphlin getting into the race, and there's a couple of others as well. And so what Representative Ramphlin might do is, or likely do, will be interjecting a lot of that Trump-type support and keeping that at the forefront, when I don't think that's what the Wisconsin Republican Party wants to see.
Is it necessarily bad, though? I remember when Scott Walker ran for governor, the Republicans tried to keep Mark Newman out of the race. He got into the race. He lost. Scott Walker won and went on to become governor. It's not necessarily that bad to have a primary, is it?
It's not the death knell, no. I mean, it's just conventional wisdom says that it would be easier if we didn't have this happening. And I think that already we have the Nicholson challenge to Clayfish, who people had seen as the front runner, given her prior political experience. And then now you have this other wild card.
Let's go back to our callers now. Ben is with us in Madison. Ben, hi.
Yeah, hi. So my opinion is that we need to come up with a good conservative Republican candidate other than Trump. We lost a year ago, you know, for a good reason. He's too divisive, and there's too many moderate Republicans who are tired of that and want to change. And to put him back up as our candidate, I think, would be futile, and we would lose.
And Ben, I know it's early. Election's still a few years off, or a couple years off. Do you have someone you'd like to see run?
You know, I'm tempted by DeSantis in Florida, but I need to keep looking more at it.
All right, well, you've got some time. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Ben. So we heard a Republican very much in favor of former President Trump running again. Ben identifies as a conservative, not so sure about that.
Right, and so what we see are a whole slew of Republicans, Governor DeSantis being one, former Vice President Pence being another, who are trying to capture that block of the Republican Party, and in hopes of, if Trump doesn't run, then they can be considered the front runner or be seen as a viable alternative. But I mean, the callers we've heard today all kind of are perfect representations of what the problems are in the Republican Party and what they're facing going into 2022 and 2024.
Thanks again for that call. Susan, kind of traditional when I talk to you about big issues in the news, I know you like to bring current events into your classroom. What out of this would you take in front of your students and want to hear from them about?
Well, I often like to talk about intra-party dissension, even more so than inter-party. So this is perfect for me, both nationally and at the state level.
Why is that? Why are you more interested in intra-party dissension? Or maybe because it's more unexpected? I don't know.
Well, it's more unexpected. I think it's not something students are necessarily used to being exposed to, because we think about the parties battling each other. And so it's an interesting twist to look back even historically over the history of the political parties and consider how they've always, oftentimes, I should say, had these internal battles going on.
Might be a whole subject for another show. Susan,
right.
Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to do it.
That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater. She was with us today to talk about divides among national and Wisconsin Republicans over issues including the January 6th Capitol attack and the 2020 presidential election. Still time to share your thoughts on who, say, you want to see run for president in 2024. If that's not too far off for you, you can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at @CentralTimeWPR. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show with Kate Archer-Kent, check out the Wisconsinites competing in this year's Olympic Games, how they're doing so far, and hear some of their backstories, too. That's tomorrow morning at 7:30 here on the Ideas Network. From the Milwaukee airport this week came the sad story of a lost teddy bear with a happy ending. As reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport posted on social media a picture of a teddy bear that had been left behind to spread the word and hopefully reunite it with its family. The picture was shared thousands of times. While the bear was waiting, it took a tour of the airport. There are pictures of the bear at baggage claim, in a pilot uniform, and at the famous recombobulation area, renamed the recombobulation area. Well, yesterday, the airport posted, exciting update, we have located the owner. We couldn't have done this without each of you helping to spread the word about a lost teddy bear at our airport. Can't wait to share more details about Teddy as we work to reunite him with his family. I can relate. One time I left my car key in the security station at the Milwaukee airport. Didn't realize it till I was already up in the air. Not exactly the sentimental value of a teddy bear, but I did want to drive home when I got back. Good news, I got it back when I flew back in. Happily ever after, this is Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, more than 30 states have finished redrawing their electoral maps ahead of the midterms. One thing is clear, more seats and more counties are far less competitive. Find out about the divided maps and what they mean for your vote today at 6 on 1A+. Now, a few weeks back, we talked to the authors of a book on the benefits of music for our mental, emotional, and physical well-being, and we heard from some of you with the stories of music in your life. They were great, and now we want more. So we're opening up the phone lines for your musical story at 800-642-1234. How do you use music in your life? When do you listen to music? Do you have particular kinds of music for specific activities, like maybe driving, housework, cooking? How about exercise? Has your relationship with music changed over time? Do you not listen at all? Did you ever used to do this, just sit and listen to music alone or with friends? Like, I can't remember the last time I did that. Maybe I should do it again. Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We asked around here at Wisconsin Public Media to hear some stories. Susanna Michaels on the WPR fundraising team shared hers.
My name is Susanna, and I participate in a group of people who get together on Zoom on Wednesday evenings, and we dance. And we need people to make playlists for these dances, and I don't know much about music, but I stepped up to be a playlist maker. And my first playlist contained every dancey song I knew. And now I'm on my 13th playlist, and I don't even know the artists on a lot of my lists anymore. I just find them. I have my ways, and I search out new music. And I workshop my playlist in my own kitchen while I'm cooking or between work. I swap songs around. I swap them in and out of the list. And I'm just amazed that there's a finite number of notes in the musical scale, and yet they can be combined in seemingly infinite ways. And I'm amazed that I'm in my 50s and for the first time ever I'm making playlists. And I know that taste is subjective, but I think my mixes are smoking hot. And that's my musical story.
Thanks, Susanna. One of the songs from your playlist there. How about you? What is the role of music in your life? When do you listen? Why do you listen? What does it do for you? Have you discovered new music lately? How do you discover new music? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We heard from Kate in Barneville. This is a good story. Kate says, I'm an unapologetic music junkie. I grew up loving opera and folk music. Moved toward edgier, politicized music in my college years. Now my kids have brought me to enjoy rap, pop, and country. I don't think there are any genres I can't enjoy and find value in. Kate says, all genres can help us understand our world better and connect us more deeply. I love that, Kate. Thanks for sharing that. And I look back at my life and sometimes where I like restricted myself by genre and didn't seek things out and like I missed a lot. But the downside is there's so much music out there. How can you keep up with all of it? Well, share your story now. Thanks for that, Kate, at 800-642-1234. How does music fit in to your life? Let's go to your calls now. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hello.
Hi there.
What did you want to tell us about?
Right. I was going to say, you know, music is really cool and fascinating. For me, I tend to be a pretty heavy rock listener in general. I should say next to NPR and WPR, my favorite station is 101.5. I hope that isn't kind of any accidental endorsement or
judges,
whatever, but
we'll allow that, Jack. That's fine.
Okay, good. Yeah, but yeah, I've always liked rock, although I'm also very much a jazz and, you know, folk music aficionado. I've really gotten into grunge rock in recent years, especially like Pearl Jam, the Foo Fighters and whatnot. And so I think it's just really cool and fascinating thinking about how, you know, different genres of music, you know, speak to particular people and sort of what it's like when you're listening to their songs and, you know, you try and, I guess, understand their musical choices, what they choose to do, and then sort of how you interpret music. And it's just really fascinating, like, thinking about
cool.
the role that music plays in our lives and what it means to us.
And, Jack, can I ask, when are you usually listening? Is it driving or around the house, or what are you doing when you're listening?
You know, Rob, just about whenever. But I'd say most commonly when I'm driving to work or to see friends. Or yeah, occasionally I'll turn the radio on when I'm doing stuff at home or at a coffee shop, but it's mostly in transit.
Awesome. Jack, thank you so much for sharing that at 800-642-1234. We're asking you to share your story. The lines are open for you about how you use music in your life, how you enjoy music, how you find new music, what you do when you're listening, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page where we heard from Gabe. Gabe writes, music is at the center of everything I do and easily my favorite thing, period. Gabe says, I listen to music several hours a day, every day when I'm not listening to it. It's stuck in my head. I play music in a band. I spend a lot of money on music and music-related merchandise, stereo equipment, etc. It's everything to me. Gabe, thanks. I love it. Thanks for sharing that story at 800-642-1234. Let's hear from another one of our colleagues now, Clinton Walls from over at PBS Wisconsin. He's big in the vinyl records.
So music has a huge role in my life. And while streaming has become the most convenient way to listen or discover new music, I never left the physical format, and my library of LPs is near 1,000 records. I don't really stream or binge watch shows. I find that listening to music is more relaxing to me, and honestly, it just gets me away from a screen. I've come to prefer records because at about 20 minutes aside, I know I have to get up and flip it. So I find I'm more intentional about my selection and a more dedicated listener, which along with a tangible cover to hold and liner notes to read, I think it increases my appreciation and enjoyment. But it's also a hobby and a social thing. I much prefer to support brick and mortar stores than buy online, and visiting a store in a new city is always a thrill, because no two stores are alike and you never know what you're gonna find there or what you're gonna come home with. And I geek out when I find albums that I like that still have the original plastic and the promotional hype stickers on them. I've actually become really good friends with some of the clerks and owners at the local stores, and I have a favorite message board with music nerds, just like me, that share hundreds of conversations about music or specific masterings, which has become a part of my daily online activity. So, yeah, it's kind of a thing with me.
Thanks for that, Clint. Clint recommended the Sanford and Son theme song for his clip, one of, in my view, one of the two best TV show theme songs of all time. Let's go back to your calls now. Your music story at 800-642-1234. Joanna is with us in Verona. Joanna, hi.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Good. What's your music story, Joanna?
So my music story is my music history. Mm. Parents listened to Big Bang. Big Band. So I goofed on that when I was little. Grew up in the 70s listening to my sister's music. Then my brother's, more of a heavy metal vibe, and then just finding my own way. I mean, I have, you know how you hear a song that you haven't heard in a while, and it instantly connects to something in your past?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I love. You know, so there's music for every part of my life that has to do with my family or where I was at the time the song came out.
Oh, can you give us an example, like one particular song or artist that really takes you back and connects you?
The first time I heard Holiday, I was, my husband was, he was my boyfriend at the time. He was working and I was sitting in his car waiting for him to get done.
And this is Madonna's Holiday?
Correct.
Okay. Oh, that's a great, great memory to take you back to. Thank you so much for sharing that, Joanne. I appreciate it. Let's go to Diane now in New Auburn. Diane, hi. Are you there, Diane? Oh, I think we lost Diane. Maybe she started listening to something instead of talking to us. Jim is with us then in Cedarburg. Jim, hi.
Hey, Rob. Thanks. Yeah, I'm a boomer, and you talk about the Beatles. and the reason I think they are the phenomenon that they are to this day is going back to when they came to America. Ed Sullivan and all. There's a song that puts it in perspective quite aptly. It's called Life in a Northern Town. When they say in the winter 1963, we felt like the world would freeze with John F. Kennedy and the Beatles. And really, it's what the whole nation needed at that time.
Wow. Jim, what do you go back and listen to? If you say to yourself, I want to hear some Beatles now, what do you reach for first?
Oh, well, Rob, it doesn't matter. I'll do their individual stuff. I mean, I go back to, you know, I want to hold your hand. Doesn't matter. I just, because I grew up with them, you know.
And, I love it.
And quite honestly, as a kid, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know that they were the phenomenon that they were. As a kid, you just take it as it comes. But nobody could do what Lennon McCartney did. No.
Thanks so much for sharing that memory, Jim. I appreciate it. We are taking your calls about the role of music in your life. You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. When and where do you listen to music? Is there something that gets you pumped up for exercise, calmed down for bedtime? Do you ever just listen? And as we heard from a couple callers, is there music you associate with a particular time in your life, a memory, a loved one? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're taking your calls about the ways you use music in your life. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us how music fits into your daily routine. What is special about it? How do you find new music? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment. Want to hear from another one of our colleagues, Christy Mole from our Member Drive team.
Music is life. There is a song for every feeling, every event, every experience, every mood. It never fails me. It is my constant companion, and I do a kind of dance called ecstatic dance, where me and a group of people will dance to pretty much all kinds of music. We take turns putting together playlists, and it's a really fun invitation to try to find rhythms in songs that you typically wouldn't listen to, and try to connect and just see what happens. So it's a beautiful microcosm of life, and it's a really fun way to experience music.
Thanks for the story, Christy. Now back to your calls. Tucker is with us in Madison. Hi, Tucker.
Hi, thanks for having me. A previous caller mentioned the nostalgic power of music, and I think a lot of people can relate to sometimes it's almost too much and painful nostalgia if it's associated with a person or a time or a place. And sometimes it can be almost too much to listen to it. But I find that if you take a break, maybe a couple of years or just however long, and come back, when there's more space between you and those feelings, you can kind of acknowledge the power that that music had, but kind of reclaim it for the present. And I feel like that's a really powerful feeling, and it kind of feels like growth. So I just wanted to kind of connect it to that. Thanks.
That's lovely, Tucker. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, giving it some time, some room to breathe if it's too painful in the short run. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth joins us now in Port Washington. Elizabeth, hi.
Hello. Well, I just wanted to share that I'm a trauma survivor. I have a wonderful trauma therapist, and so I will quote her. She said, "For you, Elspeth, music is medicine." And she's so very right. Everything from Aretha Franklin to Miriam Makeba to Beethoven's Ninth. It is medicine.
I'm so happy to hear that for you, Elizabeth. How do you know in a moment which prescription of music you need to reach for?
Well, you know, I don't always know. I sort of have an intuitive sense. If it doesn't feel right, then I always have lots of other choices. So that's how I work it.
Wonderful. Elizabeth, I'm glad you found music as a healing power. That is great to hear. Thanks for your call at 800-642-1234. Our question for you, where does music fit into your life? How do you use it? When do you listen to it? How do you find new stuff? What memories do you connect with music? And like Elizabeth, does it have healing power for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to Jim next in Franklin. Jim, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What's your story, Jim?
Well, I was listening to the gentleman before talking about the Beatles, and I'm not particularly with one song, but I like Rubber Soul, Abbey Road. I play those all the time. Moody Blues, Days of Futures Past, anything from them would be great, and that kind of helped me go through a pretty tough time in my life. And those three albums are actually my favorite. Anything by those three, you know, are fantastic, and I thoroughly enjoy them.
And can I ask Jim, if I may ask your age, like, are these things you grew up with, or did you, like, I listened to those things, like I listened to a lot of Moody Blues in my dad's collection. Was it part of your childhood or something you discovered later?
Well, I'm 72 years old, so I don't know how you want to word that, but I mean, I enjoy all music, but those are actually my favorite two groups.
I got to see the Moody Blues once, actually. It was pretty cool.
Yes,
it was a great show.
I've seen them once, and then the last year, the year and a half ago, we were in, went to Illinois, and they had a Moody group, like look-alike.
Like a tribute group.
And they played, we're a tribute group, and they played very good music. We went there, and it was worth every penny of the two-hour drive and parking and walking to it. But yeah, those groups tend to they bring out a lot of emotion in me. So
fantastic, Jim. Thank you so much for sharing that. It sounds like a great road trip too. We are taking your stories of music and your life, where music fits into your life day to day, or as we heard from a lot of our callers, your past and present and future, days of future past. That was Moody Blues, right? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Liz joins us next in Holman. Liz, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's your music story, Liz?
Well, first of all, I like pretty much every style and type of music out there. I was lucky to be raised by a dad who was born, oh gosh, I hate to say I was the Oaks child. And I'm old now, so my dad died back in 1979, I guess it was. No, 82, I'm sorry. And he was 70 years old, so it gives you an idea. But when I was young, he always told me that if somebody somewhere can call it music, there has to be something good about it. And so I've learned, and that's kind of the way I grew up. I love all kinds of music. So that being said, a lot of music I use kind of like dictates my mood or helps define my mood, shall I say. So I have a rough day, I might put on some hard rock or something like that, kind of lets me bang it out a little bit or something. But real quick, some songs that just kind of bring back memories. I've been really going back in my past and loving Chicago. Love that brass sound. Love that rhythm that they had. Always makes me smile, not to quote one of my favorite songs, but yes, Make Me Smile by Chicago. And it's just those kind of eternal bands, the ones that still go out there now and still can sell records, and they have that great sound that never goes away. And it just, you know, that's the stuff that I go back to and allows me to center myself and makes me happy.
Liz, thanks so much for sharing that. And I love just the open attitude toward different kinds of music. I appreciate that. At 800-642-1234. That's still time for your call. If you call in right now at 800-642-1234, share your story of your relation with music. Kathy is with us now in Appleton. Kathy, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I can relate to a couple of your other callers here. I also grew up with music. My dad was played the accordion, and so every Sunday, of course, when he'd play, we'd have to dance along with that music.
Oh, okay.
And my parents also listened to a variety of music. We had a hi-fi stereo, of course, back then. And so, and my brother took guitar lessons, and he and I would sing. Well, I can relate to the woman who called out long ago who talked about music as healing, because about 10 years ago, my parents died within 2 months of each other, and I was really mired in grief for a long time, and then I just remembered how much music helped me heal, and I signed up for guitar lessons. I learned how to play the guitar, and I started writing music, and the first song I wrote was about my mother, so music is therapy for me as well, and I listen to all kinds of music, everything from Beatles to Bach. So public radio is one of my favorite stations, of course, because of the classical music. So
Kathy, thank you for sharing that. What a lovely way to deal with grief. I'm glad I heard that story. Thank you. Let's go now to Dan in Green Bay. Dan, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to just share the power of James Taylor. I don't know if there's any other major James Taylor fans out there, but he touring right now, and we got to see him with Jackson Browne here in November, and he just puts on an amazing, amazing show. Just he and Jackson Browne, and his son Henry was there, but it just reminds me of my college years. So about 10 years ago, we got to see him at the Widener Center, got the tickets at the last day, and we were 20 rows back in the middle. And it was just him, a piano and a guitar, a projector and a screen in front of him, and that was amazing. And then, so just reminds me of my college years, and I got to share it with my wife, and one of my sons went there, so it was kind of neat to pass that.
Awesome.
They had no clue who he was. Neither did my wife. She thought it was "You've Got a Friend" was the song from Toy Story. She had it all goofed up.
Dad, thanks a lot. Glad you had the opportunity to see him again, too. Hey, thanks for everybody for calling in. You can keep sharing your music stories right now. You can head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Maybe we can share some of them on the air. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We're firing up the slow cooker. Get some great recipes and advice for using our crock pots and such like. That's tomorrow here on Central Time. Coming up after the news, we learn a year's worth of new ways to walk that can make us happier, healthier, and just better off. Then we look at why many of Wisconsin's rural towns have impressively high walkability scores. I'm Rob Ferrett. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.